another side to the illegal immigration issue. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, my Vice Chairman, fellow analyst and good friend, Chuck Michaels.
I'm glad to be back with you again today, Barry. We have an important topic to talk about today, so we probably ought to get going because we only got 15 minutes.
I know, and honestly, this is one, Chuck, it's hard to kind of get your hands around because this is of a woman who, by her own admission, was here in America illegally. But while she was here, she has had a son and three daughters. That's where things get a little interesting, and I believe that it's the side of the immigration issue that we don't see enough about. And Chuck, I'm gonna let you explain the background here because I'm still trying to get up to speed on it and trying to put this all together. But it seems like it's a situation that the state or the agents of the state through Child Protective Services or from the U.S. Customs and Immigration Services have kind of opened the door for something that I think could be very problematic in the future should they decide to broaden their scope in how they're handling some of these issues.
Well, first of all, we ought to make it clear that you and I are both concerned about illegal immigration, as anybody who's listened to the last couple of shows that we've done can attest.
Yes.
We both want to see the borders protected from illegal entry. Now, there are a couple of different classes of people coming into the United States. One class is coming in specifically for the purpose of doing the United States harm, and there's another class that's coming in specifically to better their own lives. Do we want them to come in legally, and do we want them to do everything correctly? And the answer is yes, but you can't treat one like the other. There are two entirely different kinds of motivations behind that type of immigration. So that being said, let's go into what this is about. I came across a story wherein a mother was arrested for supposedly she got home and the Child Protective Services was there and she and her husband had left a severely disabled child. One of their children is severely disabled at home alone.
As you read the story, though, Chuck, it seemed like what happens oftentimes in many families who have multiple children of various ages, there seemed to be a miscommunication between mom and dad. According to the lady, she thought she was leaving the boy and the two girls with her husband while she went with the infant to go run some errands. And I don't know what he was thinking, but he took the two girls to go run some errands of their own, and nobody remembered the boy, who I guess had some health issues.
Yeah, you know, I've done this. My wife and I have gone to church and left our youngest at home in bed because each of us thought that, you know, we went at different times and each of us thought the other one had the youngest child. Well, the youngest child was about 14 or 15 years old, so it's not like they couldn't fend for themselves. And also, the fact is, we lived about 2.5 blocks from our church at the time, so it wasn't exactly like the kid couldn't get up and walk to church if she felt so inclined, or if she could get out of bed by herself, which is the real problem. I understand that this can happen. I'm a little suspicious of this story insofar as Child Protective Services doesn't just show up on your porch, but let's put that aside for a minute because it's really kind of a sideshow. The fact is that at that point, these people were let into the apartment and she was asked if she was an illegal and she said yes. So she was arrested. Now, what's happened subsequently is that her children are citizens. I think 3 out of her 4 are citizens and 1 is not. And what happens is all of a sudden, she sits in a detention facility while they go through the whole immigration nightmare. And she, in the meantime, is applying for visas, but the courts suddenly sever her parental rights. And the arguments that are used for severing the parental rights are a little shaky as far as I'm concerned. One of the big things from a Christian worldview that we want to do as much as possible is keep families together.
That's right.
We don't want the state interfering with custodial issues. This woman is an illegal immigrant. We'll accede to that. But the fact is, if she's an illegal immigrant and her children are citizens of the United States by the current law, then why would she not be sent back to Mexico with her children with her as the custodial parent?
Well, because according to the way this case was handled, her children were put into foster care, and as of this broadcast and this writing, were waiting on, I believe, being put out into the foster system and possibly permanently adopted by American citizens. And I guess this isn't, you know, these children aren't the only children that we have in what we call the social safety net of children of detained illegal immigrants. As you and I both saw from this article, that there were approximately 5,100 children of detainees in foster care across the country.
Well, Barry, unfortunately, we had to go to a British paper to get that information.
Yes, we did.
We had to go to the Mail, which is a UK paper. The fact is, why isn't that being reported in American papers? I honestly don't know, but this is not the only case that I was able to dig up. Now, get this one. This is Nashville, Tennessee. A father says he's being asked to do something he can't legally do in order to get custody of his little girl. Now the child is in foster care and the dad faces losing her forever. And in fact, what they want him to do, he's an illegal immigrant, and they're telling him he can't get custody of his daughter back until he gets a driver's license. Well, he's an illegal immigrant, and he can't get a driver's license because he doesn't have any legal paperwork, which means that he would have to obtain false identification. This seems to me to be typical government-style operation. You can't do this unless you do this, and you can't do that unless you have some other piece of paperwork, and you can't do that unless you have some other piece of paperwork. The fact is, losing custody of your children because you are an illegal immigrant, I understand why you're being detained. Okay, fine. Ship them to Mexico to a relative. But stealing these children because they're American citizens and their parents are in the United States facing immigration charges strikes me as sinister.
Well, and what we have, Chuck, it's the case of too many laws not working together. Because you and I both would, I think, say clearly that Amelia Reyes Jimenez, who is the woman in question that we're talking about, was here illegally, and so therefore rightfully should have been deported back to her home country of Mexico. That three of her four children were born in the United States, and so therefore they could claim U.S. citizenship. Well, or possibly. You know, this takes us back to some of the things that we discuss when we talk about Institute on the Constitution class and looking at some of the ideas of what makes someone a citizen. And we go back to Emmerich de Vattel and his writings that the founders utilized about what a natural-born citizen was. And we understand from Vattel, although we know it's not held up anymore in our current justice system, that in order to be considered a citizen in the United States, you had to have been born of a father who was the citizen in the country. So in other words, it was by parental lineage going down through the patriarch of the family, the father. We don't know from what we've seen in these cases of this court, because it's all been focusing on Miss Jimenez, whether or not the father of these children was an American citizen or not. And I think that would have cleared it up if he were, that these children should have, he should have kept these children. If she was illegal and he wasn't, then he should have kept it. But if not, then the, as you mentioned earlier, probably the best course of action would have been to say that those children are not U.S. citizens because their father was not a U.S. citizen, and therefore to surrender them over to the country of origin or the country of nationalization, well, which would have been Mexico.
Yeah, there's a question here, and this is one of those things. This is journalism at its worst, I'll be quite honest. This is an emotional piece, and I'm not touched so much by the emotion. My touch point is the fact that there is not a valid reason, as far as I'm concerned, that this woman should lose permanent custody of her children. And in fact, what's going on, her children are basically being adopted out by the state.
Yes.
I can't buy that. Now, where's the father? He has fallen completely out of the picture. There's nothing in the report that I can find. There's nothing in any of the reporting any place. The guy was there. Now he's not. Well, I don't know what that means. Are they divorced? Is he back in Mexico with her? She's living with her sister making cell phone parts in Guadalajara, Mexico, and attempting to fight immigration by remote control from Guadalajara. Well,
which is not easy to do.
No, that would be virtually impossible. It would cost her thousands of dollars to do this by remote control with a U.S. attorney. And that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
An attorney that's licensed to practice law in the state where this went on. It's Arizona because this thing took place in Phoenix.
Right.
But the implications are such that all you have to think is, what is the state thinking? And the state is thinking in terms of, while parents have custody of children, who actually, quote unquote, owns them? Well, from a Christian perspective, God owns them, and he has given them into over to the stewardship of the parents.
Correct.
And so when we look upon it that way, he didn't give them over to the stewardship of the state. Now, what the state is saying, the state and the federal government, because let's face it, the feds are involved and they can't walk away from this. What the state is saying is the state actually owns the children. And that's the whole basis behind some of these Department of quote unquote child safety things, where people have lost custody of children over not strapping them into the correct kind of child safety seat, that kind of thing. Some of this has gotten out of hand. People have had custody hearings over spanking their children. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but spanking your child for acting up in a store is not an offense for which you should lose custody of your children. And in fact, if you do it correctly, it is something for which you will reap rewards and benefits later on in the child's life. And that's, I say, is done correctly. If you just beat on a child, don't let them know exactly what they've done, that's another thing. And we could do hours and hours and hours on what the proper way of applying corporal punishment is. But and we may hear about this. I would be shocked if we didn't get some flack over the fact that we're coming out in favor of corporal punishment. But
well that's too bad.
It worked for me, and we applied it very sparingly, but we applied it when it was necessary. And I'm very disturbed that what could total outcome of this thing could be the idea that the bond between parent and child is getting weaker and weaker and weaker as the state gains more and more and more authority and power over the child-parent relationship.
Well, and look now, at it this way, Charles. I want to put this to you. Let's take it out of the illegal immigration scenario, okay? Let's say we have a person who is a parent of children who commits a crime. Well, because we all believe being in here in this country illegally is a criminal act. You commit a crime, and so you go to jail, and you're put into the criminal justice system. Now, if you are, a single parent or the only living parent of these children, well, temporarily those children might go into the child welfare system. But by and large, relatives of the children would end up getting first preference to care for the children until you serve through your penalty. And once you got back, the parents would come back to the family and to the children and go from there. But in this case, in Mrs. Menace's case, her parental rights were terminated by the courts in Arizona last year, and the children are being put out to permanent adoption through various families in the United States. This isn't how we treat anybody. I'm not trying to make an argument, Chuck, and I hope our listeners don't believe this. We're not trying to make an argument for anchor babies, okay? We're not trying to make an argument for the illegal should stay here because they've had children and those children are U.S. citizens. We're making an argument about the family structure and the fact that it isn't the state's responsibility to decide unilaterally who is and isn't in a family or where they should stay, even in this kind of a situation, because let's take it one more step further, Chuck. Perhaps the Enemy Expatriation Act that we've talked so many times on this program actually passes. Does that mean that if the president decides to make you say you're a terrorist and I'm taking away your citizenship rights, then that means that automatically your children, if you had children of minor age, become wards of the state, and then the state can adopt them out to anybody they feel like?
I'm going to be quite honest, we're really short on time, but the fact is this strikes me as the way Nazis felt about children. Children belonged to the state. Parents were mere custodians. And the fact is you would be required to do things to teach your children the way the state said, not the way the church might advise you to raise your children or the Bible. You had to do it according to the state. You had to send them to state education facilities. We're falling more and more and more into that particular rut, if you will, because it is a rut. It's a low tactic. But that's, unfortunately, what we're finding ourselves going toward. Now, Barry, we are out of time. So we'll have to ask the folks to come back and join us again for another principled policy tomorrow.